Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please be seated for the
Now the court of public opinion is trying to be swayed by an agent saying, the temerity.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This baseball organization not fly my client private to the All-Star Home Run Derby. I can't think of something that fans would probably say, GTOH.
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, NFL on Fox analyst and three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Coming up, comedian David A. Arnold. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number three here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll have a little bit of time to take your phone calls here on the program. David A. Arnold, the comedian whose new Netflix special is burning up that site, that app, that spot on Netflix. It ain't for the weak. He is here in our green room, and he'll be coming out shortly. He's a diehard Browns fan. And we'll be talking to him on that front. Chris Brockman and DJ Mikey Rich. D is in D's hey, Nuts in their spot. Good to see you over where you are, TJ Jefferson.
Well, it's good to be seen.
It's very good to be seen. We already had some terrific conversations. Brian Windhorst in hour number one about the Kevin Durant news that that Woj hit, and then Shams Charania hit as well. Shams is the one who went out and said that there has been a Jaylen Brown package offered to the Nets for Durant, and it was rejected and countered. I mean, I can't imagine. Jaylen Brown is a pretty damn good basketball player.
So is Kevin Durant.
I love Jaylen.
I've heard of him.
You know who he is.
I've heard of
him. You know who he is.
There is one subject that I'd like to hit right here off the top of this hour before we get to some interesting quarterback rankings that were ranked by by coaches and general manager. Our friend Charles Barkley was on Dan Patrick's show today, and he talked about his future broadcasting, and he had a dinner with Greg Norman from the Live Tour last week, and it was at this dinner where Norman kicked the tires on Barkley and asked him if, you know, he was in fact interested in calling the matches on the Live Tour, which is a fascinating choice. It's obvious that the Live Tour is trying to reimagine the way golf is played, 54 holes, teams, right? And all shotgun starts and music playing, and a totally different environment than one would think about for competitive golf, where if a camera clicks at the wrong time, it gets a nasty stare from a player, and then potentially, you know, an ejection from the facility. You know, a totally different way of holding a golf tournament, and this would be a totally different way of broadcasting. I mean, Charles does a great job in any broadcast that he's a part of, and those special the matches, right? That's been held the last several years through the Turner family.
Love those,
right? I mean,
so fun.
And he's terrific at it because it enhances the enjoyment, it enhances the comedy, the fun, the behind the scenes stuff that he's, you know, Charles is not an expert player, as we all know, and so he's just incredible.
Yeah.
And just, you know, his ability to say anything at any time and say it with a smile, but say it with a jab. There's hardly anybody like him, and I know, you know, the baseball community would love to have a Charles Barkley type figure, you know, who's been there and done that, one of the top players of all time. I mean, he is the envy of any broadcast that he's on. If he joins the Live Tour, it seems that he runs the risk of no longer being on Turner, which would be the loss for all of us. We would all lose out, not only because inside the NBA is arguably the best studio sports show ever, and his insight on the NBA. If we lose that, it would be a loss for all of us. Now, Charles has every right to take the amount of money that's potentially going to be coming his way. Although I was fascinated to hear that Norman he went to the dinner with Barkley, but not armed with an offer. It's just like he asked him if he was interested, according to Charles. And my answer would be like, I'm sitting here, aren't I? Like, I mean, you know, I could ask you about the Masters. Right. I could ask you about your career. I could ask you about, like, you know, you want to. We could catch up on TV shows that we've watched. It's like, of course he's here. Like, I can't believe he didn't come armed with an offer saying, right, this is what it is, saying I'll get back to you. And he hasn't. And Charles says that he would, you know, they have till Thursday to make him an offer.
Yeah, that was how this all started. Charles is playing in the Pro-Am this week. The third LIV event is going on this weekend in New Jersey in one of Trump's courses, and he's playing in the Pro-Am. So Charles said, look, you got till the end of the Pro-Am to make me an offer.
And this is just, again, I do want to say this. And again, you know, I've known Charles for a long time, and, you know, he's kind enough to come on this show. He's the one he's known Susie longer than I have. It's just it would just be so disappointing to lose him as well as a voice in the world for what is good and right. We would lose that. Again, the video that went viral, I think, was this at the event, the golf event, the American Century golf event in Tahoe? Somebody took a video of him supporting the rights for those in the lesbian and gay community to be married. And anybody who tells you that you don't have a right to your marriage, you tell that person to go F off. And he's going to play on a Trump golf course. It's just like he's going to go walk past. He's going to go drive past the Trump sign. And this is his belief system. And again, like Dan pointed out, and I feel the same way. I'm from New York City. I mean, the Twin Towers are gone forever. Thousands of people gone forever. There's going to be a whole bunch of 9/11 families outside that golf course in New Jersey. But again, he also said that he's spoken to about a dozen big name broadcasters who have been reached out to by the LIV Tour and who don't want to go first. I have not been reached out to by the LIV Tour. Maybe my stance on Greg Norman and this tour has kind of taken me off that board. But
well, we know David Faraday already said yes.
Again, and the amount of money, if they offer it to Charles, you know, I totally understand why he would take it. And he's basically come out and said that he would. And we would just, if we lose him from Turner, but also as a voice in the world that could be counter to saying, well, you took the money from the LIV Tour, Charles, so you really, I don't want to hear what you have to say on item X, right, Y, or Z in the real world, where he is an important voice for that too, for a lot of people. So I'll be keenly interested, and I just can't believe, I mean, maybe they won't offer him the gig, because I assume Greg Norman picked up the tab for dinner. If you say, Charles, we want to talk to you, and Charles is like, fine, where are we meeting for dinner? That's an indication he's interested. Show up with an offer.
Yeah, I was shocked at that.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mike Sando of The Athletic every year speaks to a whole host of NFL coaches and executives. 50 to be exact this time around. And he broke it down in the article that he wrote for The Athletic. 6 general managers, 8 head coaches, 10 talent evaluators, 12 coordinators, offensive and defensive, 6 quarterback coaches, and then some front office executives who work in the analytics department and cap management, and asked them to rank quarterbacks. The 35 veteran quarterbacks in the National Football League, veterans and young quarterbacks as well, and break them into 5 different tiers. And before he put them up, here are the 5 tiers. Tier 1, I'll go one at a time. There's tier 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Tier 5 is backup. Tier 1 is they carry the team each week. The team wins because of this quarterback who expertly handles pure passing situations, and there are no real holes in their game. That was the metric by which these individuals were asked to rank the quarterbacks. And according to Mike Sando of The Athletic, here's what came back. There are six tier one quarterbacks, just six tier one quarterbacks in the National Football League. And there they are. Aaron Rodgers ranked number one, Mahomes two, Tom Brady three, God bless him, three, Josh Allen four, Justin Herbert five, and Joe Burrow six. Oh. Now then, here is my take on it. Congratulations to Herbert and Burrow playing themselves into this tier in the NFL. And, you know, I think Allen and Mahomes have proved it before. But here's Herbert and Burrow entering year three, which is why the Chargers and the Bengals better come up with the scratch, because after this year is when they're going to go be knocking on the doors of the Spanos and Browns family, respectively, and say, did you see what Kyler got? And also, let me just say this one more time, in case y'all haven't heard what I've been saying this entire offseason since the Super Bowl ended. Joe Burrow is changing the Bengals organization. He has changed it. And anybody that overlooks the Bengals to repeat as AFC champions, certainly AFC North champions, anybody who overlooks, I don't know, Chris, if this is still the case, and maybe it is because you first brought it up in mid-March before Deshaun Watson joined the Browns, and we still, as of this current moment, do not know how many games Watson is playing this year, if at all. But you told me the Browns had a better Super Bowl odds in the town where Mo Green has no plaque, signpost, or name to honor his creation of the town. But you got to be kidding me. Joe Burrow is a top one, tier one quarterback in the NFL.
Bengals are ahead of the Browns.
It's about time.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be, because they also hit the crap out of the offensive line in free agency. And they drafted well again, it seems.
Browns are ahead of the Raiders.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't understand how odds makers work, or if people are betting and that changes the odds, or, you know, I don't understand.
Hey, you're trying to get action on both sides, Rich.
But so you might be like, so who's not in tier one? Who's in tier two, which is categorized as carry the team, but not as consistent as the tier one quarterback. And there's a hole or two in their game. And the number one quarterback in tier two is your defending Super Bowl champion, Matthew Stafford, with Russell Wilson right behind him. There's Deshaun Watson in front of Lamar, who's in front of Dak, TJ. And Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, and Matt Ryan. Those are your eight quarterbacks in tier two.
How is this described again? What was tier two?
Tier two is they can carry the team, but they're not as consistent as a tier one quarterback, and there's a hole or two in their game.
I think that's fair for most of these guys, right?
Well, the issue is as well.
I mean, you could go down each one of those guys and point out a flaw that differentiates them from the tier one guys.
And here's the thing, too, that I saw, because the quotes in this, you got to read the article just to read some of the quotes from the unnamed people. I can't believe this is being said still right now. A current NFL defensive coordinator, quoted by Mike Sando on Lamar Jackson, says if he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's really a good football player, but I don't give an S if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be a one as a football player, but not a quarterback. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean? A football player? Are there people still thinking that he can't throw? Are there still people who think maybe he's not as consistent a thrower as a tier one quarterback? But what does that mean that he's more of a football player? Does that mean he's a runner? Is that your way of saying he's a running back? What the F does that mean? So you have to take some of this stuff with a grain of salt. I mean, Lamar Jackson can beat you with his legs, and I know that he's runs, you know, through the Bengals half the time before Joey Burrow arrived, but come on, man. He can throw it. Let's see who he can throw it to. Let's, you know, What if Tyreek Hill showed up there? With all due respect to the people he's been throwing to. Hollywood Brown was his number one guy.
He's gone now.
His number one guy has been his tight end all this time.
Period.
So he's never really had big-time wide receiver.
And they have a running game, and they do. That's the offense for a reason.
Yeah, that's how they play football.
I can't believe it. Tier three
Rich, really, look, can I stop you? Really? You can't believe it?
I can't believe it.
Let's be honest. You can believe it.
It's gobsmacked by it.
But he hasn't had to win the game with his arm. I guess that's why we haven't.
Well, I mean, we could point out, like, if you give me a minute to just actually look at stuff, win with his arm. Remember the 500 yards he had in the first game against Miami in his MVP season? And you were like, let's see him do it again. And then he wins the MVP. Come on now.
We didn't have another game like that.
Come on now. Tier three is a legit starter, but needs a heavier run game or a defensive component to win the game. A lower volume of drop back passing game offense suits him best.
We can guess who these guys are.
There's Kirk Cousins. Jimmy Garoppolo in front of Tannehill. Look at Tannehill in the middle of the pack. Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, and Jameis are all in there.
Okay, so read that description again.
Okay. Legit starter.
Okay.
But the quarterback needs a heavier run game or a defensive component to win. Lower volume of drop back passing game offense suits him best.
I don't know if Kirk belongs in that. Kirk's a really good passer. He had a great year last year.
I just don't think he's a tier two. It's about time for Kirk to show himself in tier two.
Well, yeah.
I kind of think a lot of these are
kind of spot on. Yeah.
I haven't really had a big issue with ones other than the fact that Stafford, I think, proved himself to be a tier one guy last year. There was a 3-week period where, you know, the Rams stumbled.
He led the league in interceptions last year.
I don't know, man. Tier four, unproven player or a veteran who ideally would not start all 17 games. This one's pretty harsh. Justin Fields, Tua. Davis Mills.
I mean, the guy started half a year.
I know. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Daniel Jones. How about Marcus Mariota sitting in there? Sam Darnold, 32. Mitchell Trubisky, Drew Locke.
Daniel Jones at 30.
Unproven player or the fact that he's still unproven, I guess, and he's a veteran, I guess. He's entering his fifth year.
And the thing is, I look at the people.
Ideally would not start all 17 games. I would tell you this. It's ideal for all of these guys to start all 17 games with the exception, in my mind, of Mitchell Trubisky and Drew Locke. The problem is for Drew Locke is, for the Seahawks, is who's the guy.
They don't have anybody to replace him.
Who would be there to replace him? And he's the only one in Tier 5, which is backup quarterback. Only one. There's only one player in Tier 5 to finish it all up.
Is it Geno Smith?
It's Geno by himself.
Come on.
And the reason why Mike Sando said is everybody, knowing Tier 5's a backup quarterback, they just said he's the backup. All of the evaluators say he's the backup. But, I mean, it would be a major problem. If you wouldn't mind putting up Tier 4 one more time before we get to David A. Arnold. In studio, it would be a major problem for me if Zach Wilson didn't start all 17 games, if Fields didn't start all 17 games, if Tua, like, name them all, Davis Mills, Trey Lance, Daniel Jones, they gotta play all 17 games. They have to for their team.
And that's kind of what I was thinking about
this year.
But in regards to Daniel Jones and his evaluation, like, who would you take him over that's ahead of him? Like, would you rather have...
You mean on the Giants depth
chart? In the Tier 4, I'm just saying, would you rather have Davis Mills than Daniel Jones?
But I sure would
I think you would take all those guys ahead of him,
I sure would right now. Yeah. Although...
Lance, Wilson...
Even John Mara, the Giants co-owner, said, we haven't done him too much justice.
You think Daniel Jones...
Let's see what Daboll looks like, but he has to start all 17 games this year.
Do you think Daniel Jones or Fields has a better year this year?
Daniel Jones. I like their weapons, and I like their coach. Let's see what they look like. Let's get Saquon healthy. Let's go.
Yeah.
But I don't think Sam Darnold has to start all 17 games for Carolina this year, and I don't think Trubisky has to start all 17 games.
But you don't think they will either.
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
Well, I think, as you know, it's Baker's gig in Carolina, and I think at some point, I hope for Trubisky that he makes the most of this opportunity. They got to see what they have and pick it. They didn't just draft a first-round quarterback all willy-nilly in Pittsburgh, where the last time they did it was Big Ben. Interesting list, food for thought. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's welcome in the comedian David A. Arnold here in studio. He's got the hottest show on Netflix right now. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, It Ain't for the Week, the new comedy special that is burning up Netflix right now and trending. David A. Arnold, the comedian who is at the forefront of all of the It Ain't for the Weakness right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And for those who are just joining us on the terrestrial radio network, we just established the it in It Ain't for the Week is anything that matters that it ain't for the week. I thought it was being a Cleveland Brown fan. I should cross that off.
No, that should be one, number one on the list. That has been, oh my God, that has been a source of my pain for years.
So are you from the great state of Ohio?
Born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland.
Born and raised. Okay. Oh my gosh. I've been near Brian Sipe from the beginning.
Damn.
All the catch, all the drive. It has been...
Webster Slaughter,
not blocking like he's supposed to. Okay. All the things that ruined my childhood. Yes.
So you went to Cleveland Municipal? You went there as a kid?
Absolutely.
You went to the old Cleveland
right
Municipal?
Right there, the mistake by the lake, as they call it. All of the things. And to this day, I will fly to certain areas to go watch them play. I'm a huge Cleveland Browns fan. It's the one thing that I have not been able to shake. And I've tried to get off of it like drugs, but I can't. I've been to meetings. I've tried to go to other teams.
You're sober 24 years, you said.
I can get off cocaine, but the Browns, I could not shake. It's unbelievable.
David, you never heard that get away from the Browns voice in your head?
Like, yes, get it right, exactly. Oh, my gosh. It grew up. It was a part of my life coming up. And when I tell you every year, I think it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And every year we have hope. And like even to Deshaun, like this whole quarterback situation, as soon as they announced him, I went, "What? We just don't get it. We're always going to find a way to do something that sounds great, but it's an asterisk next to everything we do. Yeah, we love this guy, but he's probably going to jail. You know what I mean? It's none of it is ever just...
straightforward. It's not so straight up. It was 2 years ago when Baker just beat they stomped it.
And we had hope.
Absolutely.
That's right. We had hope. Yes, they did. And they were great. And it's just, we don't know how to finish. And I just think it's from the top. It's from the organization. And you have to know winning is a culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's why I'm a fan. Like I grew up in Cleveland. I've never been a Cavs fan.
Never.
Don't dislike
him. Even with LeBron?
It just didn't take. I don't know why. He's one of the best players I've ever seen.
Of course.
You know, but it just never took. I was a Michael Jordan fan. You know what I mean? Which is, I mean, come on.
I mean, he ripped the Cavs' heart out. I see him shooting over Craig Elo every
exactly.
2 seconds on television.
And him falling to his knees, like, of right. course. But like that, I've always gravitated towards I don't know what it is. It's a greatness. It's a thing. And Michael Jordan had that thing that just got me. Steph Curry and the way I watched I watched them play. My best friend in school when I grew up, his dad played for the Cavs. So we were able to sit on the floor and watch the game. Like we could be ball. Like we had all the access to the Cavs. I had no interest.
You had free reign of Gund Arena? Is that
exactly,
what you're saying?
Exactly. All the popcorn I could eat and nothing. I just, James Silas, and I never did it.
And so who's your favorite Brown of all time, David?
As soon as you said it, before you even got it, probably Brian Sipe.
Really?
Because
so you're
I
talking
was a kid.
Old school.
Yeah, I was a
like
kid.
Like Sam Rutigliano sending out the play into Brian Sipe.
Exactly. Ozzie Newsome, it's not Reggie Jackson. It's, I can't think of his last name now.
Okay.
But number 83, I do know that. And I went to school with his kids.
Okay.
I do know that.
Chris is looking it up right now.
Are you? Reggie Rucker. Reggie Rucker. Like that was when I was like at my most impressionable, when playing against like Terry Bradshaw and all. Like that is when I really got sucked into football.
Right.
You know, and I just, and I have not been able to, I've not been able to shake it. I have a problem.
It's okay.
I have a Browns problem.
It's okay. You never know, man. I mean, they do have so many incredibly talented players. I just don't know if Deshaun's going to play and then what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen.
It's too much distraction, though. You can't have that kind of distraction and be great inside of a locker room. I just don't believe that that energy cannot exist. That energy can't exist to be as great as you need to be to win a Super Bowl. It's gotta be here. You gotta be, right. And anytime another person comes out, another thing, it's inevitably gonna cause a problem. So you can't, that wasn't the move. I don't think that was the move.
David A. Arnold, a comedian whose new special, It Ain't for the Week, is burning up Netflix right here on The Rich Eisen Show. You sat down and you had an issue with my son on my desk right here.
That's best, the best dad ever. You know, I mean, I'm like best. Look at everybody's faces. Your whole staff is like, we don't like that son.
No, here's the deal, David. I'm sure you've heard this talk before in the comedy community.
Sure.
It's a sharp elbowed community, you know, like
it is.
Okay. Right. It ain't for the week.
It ain't for the week.
Okay,
the internet community. Okay. It ain't for the week.
Let me just say this. If you're about to come at the king and the crown, you best not miss.
Okay.
Okay. So you have the floor. If you have a problem with me having this.
This is the thing about the best dad. Okay. First of all.
Yes, David.
How old are your children?
They are about to be 14, 11, and about to be 9. Two boys and a young girl.
And the girl is how old?
She's about to be 9.
This is the time to get the best dad sign. Because I had that sign when they were 9. When they get 15, especially your daughter, they don't like you. Okay, they have nothing you say.
Should I be taking notes?
You should be writing all this down and tell them to talk to me. Yeah, they don't. The older they get, Rich, the less you know. You understand? Like they don't. They think my children think that I am an idiot.
Okay, I'm beginning to feel that way.
Slowly they will let you know that you don't know all the things you've accomplished, all the things you give them.
Yes.
And they will look at you like, why are you talking to me?
Yes. I will say to my oldest on occasion, David, I will say to him on occasion, I'm like, I have been a 13-year-old boy before.
Yes.
Okay. And then he'll say stuff like, you know, but you didn't. Did you have a phone when you were a kid?
Exactly.
Like, you know,
like, it was different.
Like, it's a different, like, you don't understand.
You wrote in the stagecoach. That's what they think.
Yes, I use bows and arrows and stuff like
exactly.
that. Yes, exactly.
When I see that, I go, best dad ever. I remember when I had the best dad ever title. Now I'm just, dad, please. Ugh. Like, why does everything have to be a teachable moment? I'm like, because I want you out of my house. That's why. I want you to be able to grow up and leave and not come back. You love them, but man, I am learning every day.
How does your comedy land with your family? How does that land with them when clearly you're actually using some moments from your...
All of my stand-up, yes. Most of it is all about my family and being married and where I came from.
Yes.
Because my daughters, they think that I'm okay. I think they started to accept it when I started to show up on their friends' social media pages on TikTok and all, like when I started popping up and they started their friends started following me, that's when they said, maybe there's something to this guy's jokes, right? Like there's a huge billboard right now of me in Times Square and I sent the photo to my kids, right? Yeah. And my one daughter, Ashlyn's very excited. She's like, oh my God, daddy, I'm so excited. She's 15.
Okay.
My Anna Grace, my 17-year-old, she went, ugh. Now I got to listen to how successful you are and why I should be. Like she immediately sees how it's going to affect her. But I think they're like, you know, kids don't ever look, we're their father. So they don't look at it like.
Yeah. Well, that means you're being a good dad.
Yes.
That's what it means.
I am a pretty good dad. That
you're being yourself.
Yes.
When you're home.
Yes.
You're not bringing anything else home.
No.
That you're present and you're doing
I'm doing
your
my
thing.
Job.
That's
I'm doing,
what that means.
They want, I have all the responsibility of making sure everything is taken care of, but I have none of the power. I get no say. It's like dad doesn't.
Oh, in my household, there's 3 kids and 2 dogs, so I'm 6th on the list.
There you go. That's that.
I am number six on the list at home.
That's exactly what I tell my wife. I'm like, nobody was hungry today, so I didn't make dinner. I said, I didn't get the ballot to vote for this. I am always the last one on the list, and I have two dogs, and these dogs live better than I do. these dogs look at me like we're first.
You know, David, it's funny. I'm David A. Arnold here on the Rich Eisen Show. I've been with the NFL for almost 20 years
now. Yes, I've been watching
it. Thank you. And
I'm a huge fan.
And I appreciate you saying that.
I really am a huge fan.
Thank you,
there's
sir.
Not a lot of people I want to hear talk about stuff.
I got it. And I'm thankfully going to be doing that for a while to come. I just knocked on paper, unfortunately. But that the phrase that I hear all the time, and it always confused me when players or coaches win it, saying no one will ever take this away from us, right? No one will ever take this away. And I always think to myself, who is the one trying to take it away from you anyway? Now that you have come here and looked at my best dad ever sign, you're trying to take this away from me. I finally met somebody who's trying to take my championship away from me. And I think it's you.
It should be best dad ever and David. I'll draw it in with a pencil.
I think it'll fit.
You're a good dad. I'll go ahead and, you know, all the work that we go through. All the dads, all of us are just second.
Right.
We're just not. Father's Day, try to get a reservation on Father's Day. Wide open. Try to get a reservation for Mother's Day 2029. Book solid. It's unbelievable how we are constantly second, constantly last, constantly never just, dad, maybe you. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
The person who.
Open table on Father's Day.
Anywhere you want to go. Come on in. Mastro's wide open. It's unbelievable. But it's the job we've been given, and I love doing it. I really, really do.
TJ, you want to chime in?
Well, I was saying, David does a lot of the content with his wife and his kids, and which has gotten them kind of popular because, you know, I met David 10 years ago because I'm friends with his wife.
Okay.
And I was at home this past Christmas, and mom was in one room watching something on her phone, and I'm in another room, and I'm listening. And I'm like, Mom, is that David Arnold you listen to? And my mom's like, yeah, listen to David, his crazy self, see what he's doing. And I go, well, I know him. She goes, you do? And I'm like, well, I met him. I'm like, I'm friends with his wife. And she stopped, turned around, and was like, you know Julie? And I'm like, yeah, well, I know Jules. I said, we went to college together. She's like, Julie went to Point Park? I'm like, yeah, you know that place you dropped me off years ago and I never came back home from? Yeah, that's his wife. She was like, no offense, David. She was excited when she thought I knew you, but when it turns out that I was friends with Julie, she was like,
Well, welcome to my world. I get the same thing with my wife all the time, too. I mean, as a matter of fact, you have the drop that Charles Barkley said during the match in 2020. Like my wife Susie Schuster, who Charles knows from way back in the day, I tweet out during the Brady Manning Tiger Phil match, this is incredible television. This is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Like tweet that out.
Right.
They put the tweet up on the screen and then Charles chimes in, saying, my wife's name on the television set.
They like her. That's how it is with my Julie.
I'm the same exact way.
That's certainly though. Everyone that comes in here knows Susie before they met Rich. So it's
the wife is always the most popular because everybody thinks that they have to deal with whatever we're doing.
Yes,
you know what I mean. I started posting videos on social media about 3 years ago, and it's me and my wife and my kids. People who follow me are very much inside my house.
Okay,
and I posted a video, I don't remember what it was, how parents feel on their kids' first day back to school. And I laid it to the soundtrack from The Wiz, Can You Feel a Brand New Day? Me and my wife dancing down the street, right? Yes. This thing goes skyrockets viral. Like, I'm on news stations, 30 net affiliates pick it up. My wife immediately becomes through the roof. And my wife is a former dancer. Julie was she was the third African-American to dance online with the Rockettes. She danced with Jimmy Buffett for years. She hosted a TV show called Made in Hollywood on ABC. So she has her own career.
Yes.
I started posting videos. She blows up. I'm like, I'm doing all the talking. Now I bring her to my shows and I will work for an hour and a half on stage. And Julie's there. I will bring her out. and these people will give her a standing ovation. Like she, I'm like, I've been out here busting my ass for an hour. And my wife comes out and gets a standing ovation. They just love her. And I'm just like, I know who the star is.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen-Hilton.
Exactly.
That's exactly.
That is exactly what it's like. I was somewhere and she came out. I did Netflix as a joke. They had a whole festival here.
Yes.
And so I had a night at the Improv, and I'm there with one of my friends, Ava DuVernay, who is a very successful television producer. You've heard of her, right?
Yes, she is. She's there. It's an apt way to describe her.
Exactly. She came to the show. She was like, David, I want to bring my mom. I'm talking to her mom. Julie comes out, and her mother starts to cry. And I was like, what happened? And like, I'm like, and Ava looks at me and goes, Julie's behind you. And it's real to my mother. And like, and I'm like, nobody has ever shed, like, as hard as I'm working, and Julie is just that. They just, it's just what it is.
That's how my mom felt.
Bless you, sir. Well done. It's called It Ain't for the Week, David A. Arnold's new special on Netflix. It's been dropped for about a week now, so where have you been? It Ain't for the Week, available on Netflix. Tour dates.
Yes.
Charlotte, the first weekend of August, mm-hmm. And then later on in the month of August, Phoenix, San Francisco, New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yes, I'm going there. I'm going to New Brunswick, New Jersey. I'm very excited to go
fantastic.
There.
Fantastic. DavidAArnold.com for additional tour dates and tickets and all that good stuff. During the season, come back. We'll talk about the Browns.
Oh, my God. I would love
that. No, we will. We will. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. The sign will still be here, despite your best effort.
I'm getting one of these signs. And when I come back, I'm bringing my sign. There you go.
BYOS. That's what you're going to do.
Exactly.
The David A. Arnold on Instagram to see his wife and all of David's right here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're back to wrap up this show and set up the rest of the week in a moment. And who knew TJ knew him?
I mean, 6 degrees of TJ is like 6 degrees of every human on Earth. It's like 1 degree, TJ two.
I had no idea TJ knew people. That's strange.
I know like three or four.
Million.
How is Ashton?
It's amazing that you asked, you know? He was, last time I saw him last night at dinner, he was good.
Oh, you saw him last night at dinner?
Yeah, I had a little birthday dinner.
Is this from last night?
That is from last night.
Hey.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. There's another famous person right there, too.
Yeah. A couple of them.
Yeah. Wilmer, there
well,
he is.
In the middle. The guy where'd you have dinner? Where'd you have dinner?
This place on Melrose called Carlito's Argentinian Ooh. Steakhouse.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
You know, it started back in 2016. You know, I remember there was a saying that said something about you are the average or the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. I don't know if you guys ever heard that. So one day before my birthday, I kind of thought, like, the five guys that I, like, talk to the most, I hang out the most, I got together for my birthday dinner, and it turned out to be the six of us, and we've done it now. I mean, obviously, we didn't do it in 20, but we've done it since 2016. Same restaurant, happened to get the same table at Carlito's, and just same five guys, and just kind of, you know, sit back and have a good time.
And then you see your back is to the wall, right?
Yeah, well,
your back is not to the front door of the restaurant.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's the Italian.
Of course,
TJ has a top five list that includes six.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's the sixth.
I'm not the sixth. There's five plus me.
It's five plus one. He's the sixth.
I'm the sixth. Or I'm the one. The rest of them are the two. And then, like, the Usos, I'm the one.
Who picked it up? Who picked up the check?
You know, I just know I didn't reach in my pocket. That's all I know.
Okay.
So, my buddy, let's give a shout out if I can to my buddy Sharon, Daniel, Matt Mazant, Wilmer and Ashton for taking me out
this.
Having a good time.
Nice. That's reaching for the check.
I'm a gamer. I got this.
So one friend for each decade you've lived?
Well, actually more than that, man, because you think about it. I was born in the 70s, so I've seen parts of the 70s, the 80s,
what
the
year?
90s.
But what year in the 70s?
You know, sometime in there.
I can guess.
Hyman Roth was always honest about his age, although if you saw in The Godfather Part 2 and he says, I'm honest about my age, it said he was 67 on the cake, and he looked a lot older than 67.
Yeah.
So, but come on.
You know, it's out.
Why is this like The Price is Right? Why do we have to bid? We have to go guess without going over?
You know, like Q-Tip said once, like,
wow.
How
How old is TJ?
How old are you?
I mean, I'm between 35 and 65.
Why won't you admit it?
You've actually told me your age.
I am 53 years old.
I know. And I don't like to age myself, man. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I'm here. I'm today years old. That's how old I am. Today.
Can you psychoanalyze this for me, Chris? Can you do that for
me,
please?
It's weird because, like,
you're 42.
We're the same birthday and the same sign. We're so different people.
Well, you are admitting how old you are. You're 42.
And I'm not just, everything's not a joke.
How old are you, Mike?
56.
I'm 53. You're the oldest one here.
Same as the Super Bowl.
He's the oldest one here, right?
Yeah,
is he the oldest one here? Is he the oldest one here? Maybe. I don't know.
I take umbrage with something, though. You said this before to me, like, everything's not a joke. I don't take everything as a joke. So I'm sorry that may be not how you approach life. But for me, that's my tactics, and it's worked fairly well for me.
We're literally just asking you your age, and you won't answer.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Right.
So
I get that.
I just got to say as well, again, I would.
Like I said, Chris, it's worked for me.
I will push back.
You didn't win on The Price is Right because you took it as a joke.
I will push back and say
that
that is...
The Price is Right. All right? My life is fine. I'm doing okay. All right?
Well, I will push back in saying that you don't treat everything like a joke. I mean, you do treat things seriously when things are necessary. Of course.
Yeah, when warranted.
Yes, but other times where you would think something should be treated seriously by you, you don't. Like, again, The Price is Right. Like, that did cost you.
It did cost you. It didn't cost me. It saved me a lot of taxes. All right? That's what it did save me. It saved me a lot of taxes.
Speaking of people, you know, I ran into Doug Ellen the other day.
Okay. Well, I only know him from here, but...
I thought you know him.
Well, we met when he came onto the show.
That's it? That's the first time I thought you had, like, a relationship with him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the sense
the creator,
that
the creator
I was a
of
huge
Entourage.
Fan of his work.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, so...
I just thought you knew him. Like, no. knew him.
I mean, you know, I feel like once I've met you once and we have, like, a little bond, that we know each other forever.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
You know, Del Tufo's a people person like that.
So let me just ask you this question.
I feel the same way.
Are you too old to play pickleball?
Oh, are you of a certain age?
Well, here's the deal, right? We thought it was an old thing, and I'm seeing now 12-year-olds play pickleball, and I'm also seeing 80-year-olds play pickleball. So
it's an old thing.
I don't know.
No. Drew Brees is playing pickleball.
Rich, there are a
lot of
people.
Have you seen him play football?
You're the same age. You're the same age, and you're the same age as Drew Brees.
Drew Brees was of a certain age when he was playing football. Come on.
Drew Brees playing football. I think Jamie Foxx is playing pickleball now.
That's another guy who's way older than you think.
Yeah, I mean, a friend of mine just built a pickleball court next to their house in Manhattan Beach.
They're taking tennis courts out and putting pickleball courts all over. This is like CrossFit.
Chris, you're going to have to get over it, man. And how people know that they play, they won't stop talking about it.
Ooh. Would you like to see video of me playing pickleball?
Absolutely not.
You know he doesn't want to see it.
Oh, here we go. That's me in the white hat. Look at that little move there. Hold on a second. There's a winner down the line.
I noticed you moved about 4 feet.
Oh, it's a hell of a
workout.
It's
a hell of a workout.
It is a hell of a workout.
4 feet at a time.
It's a hell of a workout.
It's
Matt Manass. I met him. I met Matt. Matt is a pickleball professional.
Oh, I think Brock, when you get smoked by Rich, I think. If you played him.
I played twice over the weekend. And I am walking around like Fred G. Sanford.
That was throwing the jump.
You got
to stretch.
You got to stretch. You got to move. You got to move fast. You got to move fast.
I didn't see you moving at all on that video.
Oh, my God.
I love this.
Now, singles. We were watching some singles videos on YouTube.
Singles
that is
tough.
Intense.
Yeah. That's like the going to like the U.S. Open and flushing meadows.
He's having fun over there. He's having fun.
Well, I mean, if you're not moving that much in doubles, the chance of your Achilles tearing is lower, so you could probably do the doubles.
Your Achilles could pop at any given moment.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you're so worried about it now. Like, what are you worried
about?
Like,
why the Achilles? Out of everything that could go wrong, why was it specifically that body part that you're worried about?
This is the age where you start doing some stuff and your Achilles pops.
He's right.
Think about how many people we know have had Achilles injuries.
I don't know.
Are you going to walk around your entire life and you're not going to do stuff because you're worried that your Achilles is popping?
Pretty much.
Really?
My sports days are pretty much over outside of golf.
Here's what I'm confused
That's
by.
Sad.
You tell me all the time That's how sad. Great of a shooter you were. You won't even just hit the gym just to shoot?
I ask you to work out every single day.
That's not working out. I'm asking you about shooting. Basketball.
I haven't touched the ball in 2 years.
Why would you ask a 57-year-old man to work out every day?
That's a good point. Well, I want him to live to 67.
Until he gives us his age, we're going to just keep throwing out ages.
And you know what? Well, you're playing into my hand of making everything a joke.
He's 72.
Come back to me.
67-year-old.
Six, like Hyman Roth. He's always honest about his age. Over TJ's age. Well done. Well done.
You guys keep using like the wah, and I looked at that as a win, but you know, I guess we looked at life
you
differently.
You didn't win.
I did win something, Chris.
What?
Ping pong table and a popcorn maker.
Hey, you don't even use the ping pong table.
But I still am in possession of it. And possession is 9/10 of the law.
But you can't move it.
I want to thank.
Oh, that's true.
I want to thank today's guest. I want to thank today's guest, David A. Arnold. That was very nice to meet one of TJ's friends. Mark Schlereth, and also our friend Brian Windhorst. On tomorrow's program, we're going to go hit the Wayback Machine to those days when the Red Sox were good.
Yes.
Pedro Martinez will be on the program to talk about David Ortiz going to the Hall.
Love it.
So Pedro will be talking about David Ortiz.
Love it. Love it.
In the meantime, the Red Sox will give up 4 more unearned runs.
Oh, my gosh. Bad news bears.
Did the Blue Jays just score again?
What are we doing?
Hit the Powerball. The Patriots the 28. That's great. Awesome. We'll see you on Tuesday's show, everybody. Everybody.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.